You're listening to the Prep You Podcast, and I'm your host, Patricia May Olson. I'll be interviewing the brands, businesses, and influencers who are keeping the modern preppy lifestyle alive. Each Tuesday, I'll bring you a new episode, but if you're craving more preppy, then shop the merch and listen to past episodes at theprepupodcast.com, and be sure to follow at @theprepupodcast and me, Patricia_May_Olson, on Instagram. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Preppy Podcast. Thank you so much for being here this week. Today, I am chatting with Tori of Adler Greer. I've worn her jewelry for many years. You guys might have seen me post about it in the past, but she is known for her beautiful woven jewelry with beads. So she uses gold beads and pearls, even some birthstones you can find in the collection. Lots of really beautiful pieces. And I love the story of how she came to designing this collection and how it's grown and changed over the years. So I really hope you enjoy it as well. Without further ado, let's get into this week's podcast. All right. So why don't you let everyone know who you are, where you live, and what you do?
Yeah, my name is Tori Vallely, and I live in Boston in the Back Bay. And I have been making jewelry for a long time, ever since 2008. And basically, I make beaded jewelry, and I hand crochet each piece, although I also do some other long chains, and I do some weaving. So it's a combination of things, but I would say that originally what I did was crochet beads. Other people do it, but not very many, and it's something I really like to do. I find it very relaxing.
Yeah, and it is so beautiful. Listeners might have remembered I had I have one of your necklaces, a little pendant necklace that I love, and it's just so classic and beautiful. So I'm excited to talk to you today and learn more about you and more about your jewelry business. But I like to start at the beginning. So tell me a little bit about your childhood. Did you grow up in the Boston area too? Where'd you grow up? Were you creative? Were you entrepreneurial? What was your childhood like?
Well, I grew up outside of Philadelphia in a small town called Paoli, which was on the main line. And it was a beautiful, beautiful area, very rural. It's not now. Right now, it's very suburban. But at the time, it was very rural. And I spent most of my time outside, and it never, ever occurred to me that I would live in the city, which I do, and raise my kids in the city. I always thought that once I had kids, I would move out and, have more outdoor space. But it turns out I stayed in the city with the kids. It was really a neighborhood here in the Back Bay. There were lots of other families with kids. There was a playground where we all congregated. And it turned out to be a wonderful experience to raise kids here. And what tended to happen was, it was hard in the beginning because you couldn't send your kids outside to play. But what happened is once they became teenagers, everybody from the suburbs and outside of the city wanted to come into the city. So it had sort of a reverse effect, and it was a great way to raise kids.
Definitely. I had no idea that you were from Paoli. I'm in Unionville, and I went to school in Malvern for college. So yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, that's such a small world.
Yes,
which brings me to my next question. I'm curious, when it came time for college, if you went, like, where and what did you study? Did it have anything to do with, business or design or jewelry, or was it something completely different, or did you go a different route?
Oh, I went a completely different route. I came to jewelry making very late in life. I'm actually probably one of the oldest people you've ever spoken to on this podcast. And so that I'm glad it's not, there's no visual, because you would realize how old I am. I went to college. I went to Boston University, and I studied political science. And for years, and I mean years, I was involved in politics. My husband ran for office here in the Back Bay. He was a state representative. And I worked in lots and lots of campaigns. And in 2004, although my date may be wrong, I worked in a presidential campaign in Washington. And when I came back, I said to myself, I think I'm done with that kind of politics. I mean, I'll never be out of politics from an interest standpoint, but I decided it was time to do something completely different. And so that was when I went by a craft store, and I saw a bracelet that I thought was really pretty. And I had seen one actually as a kid, and it, for some reason I remembered it. But anyway, so I went in to the store and I said, does anybody teach you how to do this? And they said, absolutely, we love to teach people. So they taught me, and I have to tell you, I used a lot of swear words while I was trying to learn. But I did finally get it, and but they were making these bracelets out of plastic beads, and I thought, boy, it'd be really nice to do that with, you know, gold and silver and semi-precious and pearl. So I started, once I learned, I started making bracelets. And then there are only so many bracelets you can put in your arm. So I thought, I really like the process, but what am I going to do with all these bracelets? And so my sister said, let's have a trunk show and see if people would buy these. And so we had a trunk show. They did. And that's how it got started. And so it grew from there.
Wow, that's amazing. So can you describe then, I obviously know what your jewelry looks like, but people listening who might not be familiar, can you describe what the jewelry is and the skill and talent of what makes it unique is?
Well, one of the things that makes it unique from a practical standpoint is that there's no clasp, so that you don't have to deal with a clasp. And for a lot of people, that makes a big difference. So it's rounded, and the beads are all, it's really is hard to describe and with words, but they're beaded and they're round. And so you just roll them over your hand.
It's like a cylinder shape almost.
Exactly. Thank you. Yep. Thank you. I always need help in finding words. So it's like a cylinder, and it's rounded, and it's a bangle. And I can make them different sizes, which is very helpful because, as you well know, people have different size necks, different size fingers, different size wrists and hands. So and so you just roll them over. And I think the other thing that, as I said, other people have made them, very few, but all of us sort of add our own design. We tweak them differently than other people. And I think that that's what makes it unique. The other thing in terms of what I do, because I make all the jewelry myself, is it allows people to play a little bit with their own design. As long as I think I can make it. For instance, if somebody wants it with a peridot because of their birthstone, I can do that. If somebody likes how one looks but would like to tweak it for their own look, they can do that. I mean, as long as it is literally possible for me to make. And so I think that that makes it unique because people can have their input as to what they want it to look like, as opposed to other jewelry where you go to a store and it is what it is.
Yep, that makes total sense. So how long would you say a typical bracelet or necklace takes you to make?
Well, surprisingly, it depends on the size of the bead, because I crochet them, and anyone who crochets or knits probably knows that the size of a yarn makes a difference in terms of how long it takes to make a sweater or a scarf. So the smallest bead I use is a 2 millimeter bead. And I have to say, I rarely use that bead. The smallest one I normally use is 3 millimeter, which is pretty small. that takes me quite a bit longer than a 4 millimeter bracelet would take, or a 5 millimeter. So I would say if you're talking about a 3 millimeter bracelet, and I have to, the first thing I have to do is to thread it onto the thread, which is what I call, it's a tough cord, and I also use a fishing line because those are the strongest. So I thread it, and if there's a pattern, as you might suspect, you have to be really careful, because if you're one bead off, that throws the entire pattern off. And wow. I've learned, believe me, I've learned the hard way. And so you have to take it out if you, you know, if you have one bead in the wrong spot. So you have to pay close attention. So it takes time to do that. And then for 3 millimeter, if you're then you have to crochet it, and that probably takes at least an hour and a half, not more. And then you have to close it, which takes not too much time, but then you have to reinforce it so that it doesn't break. So I would say all in all, it probably takes about, for a 3 millimeter, probably takes 3 hours. And then for a 4 millimeter bracelet, which is a bigger bead, it takes, you know, 2 hours and 15 minutes. And for a 5 millimeter bracelet, it's probably going to take you just about an hour and a half. So there's a big difference. And then when you get into necklaces, of course, the numbers increase.
Yeah. No. So they're all made with love and a lot of time then, it sounds like. So yeah. So you do this trunk show though. And it was a success. So then at that point, were you like, oh, you know what? I have something here. I have something different. I have a business. Was that kind of the thought then? And you sort of focused on launching this brand?
Well, what happened was I have a niece-in-law named Katie, who you are familiar with. Mm-hmm. And she at the time was working at Christie's in the jewelry department. And she was thinking of leaving Christie's. And I think wanting to start a family. And she said, well, why don't we think about going in on this together? And I thought, ooh, this is a great idea. And of course, at that point, I thought, well, the two of us could really make this work. I mean, she has a lot of wonderful design ideas, and she has an eye. She definitely has an eye. And she wanted to do something part-time while she had little kids. And so it was the two of us who decided to do it together. And so we had to, of course, come up with a name. And so what we came up with was Adler Greer. So Adler was her maiden name, and Greer was my middle name. And we thought that the combination of the two names sounded very hotsy-totsy. Mm-hmm. And we decided that was the name we were going to use. And it was at that point that we really started to make this a business and you know, it was really, we had a lot of friends who helped, who had trunk shows, who started to get us known. So that was very, very helpful. And then we did what everybody has to do. We had to print cards, and we had to get the infrastructure. We had to invest in beads. And at the time, the price of gold was much lower than it is now. And, yeah. You know, and we had to find the vendors who had the best prices. And then we had to do all the tax stuff. I mean, I don't have to go through all the details of the actual starting the business, because most of your listeners have been through it all. But we decided to do it, and that's pretty much how we got started.
I love that. Now, what do you think is the hardest part of having the business, and then like the easiest or your favorite part?
Well, my favorite part is seeing a design that I like and trying to determine whether I can do my own variation of that design. And, you know, then I have to really kind of work on it to make it mine so that it's not an exact replica of what I've seen. That's my favorite part, although I will say it's frustrating because I'll think I've got it. And then I will finish the bracelet and it doesn't work. So that to me is And I also have to be very honest, sitting and crocheting a bracelet is very, very relaxing. I listen to books and I listen to the news, and sometimes they watch Netflix or something like that, or listen to a podcast. And so that is the only, and the other thing, and then I'll tell you the frustrating part, but the other really, really terrific part is when somebody puts on a necklace and loves it. And, you know, it doesn't get any better than that, because you make something that, I mean, you're literally sitting there making it, and then somebody loves it and is willing to buy it and wants to wear it and feels good in it. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. The frustrating part, taxes, filling out the forms, making sure that you file at the deadlines, which I have to be honest with, I'm not perfect at. You know, the minutia, the paperwork. I find that very frustrating. The other thing is hard for me, which would not be hard for most of your listeners or your entrepreneurs, is the social media, because, you know, I think that I can make really pretty jewelry and I'm creative that way, but I don't. And I know that I'm not particularly creative when it comes to social media.
Yeah. Yeah. Social media is hard and it's always changing. You know, I think even myself, who works primarily in social media, even I get frustrated with it. So I totally understand that.
Well, you do a very good job of it, because, of course, I see your posts all the time.
Thank you so much. So then, speaking of one of your favorite parts, sort of the design inspiration, where do you look for inspiration, or what inspires you?
Colors. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'll give you an example of my most recent inspiration. I was in Florida, and I walked past a store called Seaman Shep, which he was a jewelry maker, I think in the 20s, 1920. And he basically, and he was for very high-end, fancy, rich people. And before he did what he was doing, most people bought diamonds and sapphires and emeralds. And what he decided to do was to bring semi-precious stones into the mix, and he started designing unbelievably beautiful jewelry with semi-precious stones. If anyone, people should go online if they get a chance and look up Seaman, S-E-A-M-A-N, Shep. I think it's S-C-H-E-P, but I may be wrong. But his color combinations were absolutely spectacular. And I thought to myself when I saw them, and his jewelry was completely different in terms of format. So I thought to myself, boy, it would really be fun. Even though I had worked with semi-precious before, I had only put semi-precious stones in as an accent. I had never used semi-precious as the main sort of color and the main part of the design. So I came back and I thought to myself, okay, I'm going to do this. So I ordered a whole bunch of semi-precious beads, which means I had to put the investment in. And I sat down and started playing with the colors. But then I realized that I needed some form of structure for it. It couldn't be haphazard. It needed to have a bit of a design within the colors. And so what I thought I should do is look up some bead crochet patterns. And I looked up some patterns and I found some sort of Indian type patterns. And I used those. Those, I think, were created a long, long time ago. I used those, and I, instead of using plastic beads, which is what is usually used for these, I used the semi-precious stones, and then I created the new bracelets that I have on the website that are all semi-precious with some pearl accents and some gold accents. And then I decided to do some gold bracelets with some of the same pattern, but with semi-precious within that pattern. So that's the example of sort of the latest inspiration and what I was able to do with it. So I call it my seamanship collection. It's an ode to him and to his artistry.
Oh my gosh, I love that. I'll definitely have to check out his jewelry because I'm not familiar. So I can't wait to check that out. And then your piece is inspired by it.
Yeah, it's really gorgeous. And he uses big stones and it's very dramatic jewelry. Mine is not dramatic. Mine is supposed to be, this is what I hope it to be, to be classic, to be not too splashy, but to be subtly classic and beautiful.
Yeah, I think you achieved that very well. Now, in terms of a marketing and getting the word out, I know we mentioned social media earlier, but what has really worked for you guys? Like, how have you spread the word? Is it, you know, customers just being your best form of marketing? Is it emails? Is it social media? Like, what's worked for you?
Well, social media has worked. But I would say that I am still very much in the new stages of social media. It would best be said that we started out with the trunk shows, lots and lots and lots of trunk shows, which required a lot of traveling and setting up. But it was a great way to start, and it was a great way to develop a customer base and to develop an email list. So we have now really created a really good email list. So I would say that is the main way that we do it. And so I have a lot of repeat customers, which has been terrific for us, through our email list. And as I said, we are doing some social media, and we're getting better at the social media. But word of mouth, I mean, I really believe that is probably the best way to market because I do get a lot of people. In fact, this was a great story, but I made one bracelet that had links in it, and one person bought it. And literally, and I'm not exaggerating, four other women called up and ordered the exact same bracelet.
Wow.
We also have a group of people who have what they call the friendship bracelet. And they all bought a single gold bracelet. And I think that there are five people. And they all bought a very classic single gold bracelet. They also call that their friendship bracelet. And I think the other thing is we have used influencers, aka you. We have influencers, which has been helpful. But I would go back to the word of mouth because I think that there is no greater influencer than a friend of yours who is wearing one.
Yep. Yeah. And I like how you pointed out that you started with a bunch of trunk shows, because a lot of people that I have on this podcast, that's how they start as well. And they find so much, knowledge by doing that too, because you get to talk and interact with the customer. So I think it's a great first step in marketing when you're starting out.
You also talk to other vendors. And I think that that was particularly helpful for me. One, because number one, I love the vendors. Mm-hmm. They are really good people. They, work very hard at what they do. They are very creative themselves. They are surprisingly helpful. They'll give you names of other shows. I have to be honest, not everybody, but for the most part, they are very, very helpful. They give you ideas that you hadn't thought about. If you do one thing and they say, have you thought about doing something, something else or some other way of collecting what people buy. So I think that the vendors are, they're really fabulous. Mm-hmm. So starting out that way, I think, is a great way for other people to really get started.
Yep. Now, since this is the Preppy Podcast, I always ask everyone, what does preppy mean to you? So how would you describe preppy?
Oh, that's a very interesting question. Now, I have to repeat that I'm an old lady. So I think preppy meant something when I was younger that it doesn't mean now. Mm-hmm. So I have to sort of, in my own mind, I have to, I think, maybe switch gears a little bit. When I thought of preppy in those days, it was simply a look. And quite frankly, it meant status. Mm. I think of it very differently now. Mm-hmm. I think that there's a look, but I think it encompasses so much more than it did in my day. In my day, it was a cable knit sweater and, you know, certain Belgian shoes or, you know, things that you probably have never even heard of.
Oh, so, I love Belgian shoes.
They are comfortable. Yeah. But when I think of preppy now, I think of people as being much more engaged. And I don't think of it as being status. I think of it as being a look. But I also think of it as being a little bit of a movement of friendship. Actually, that's what I think of it as, more of a movement of like-minded friendship. And an interest in color and design. And so from that standpoint, I'd have to say a lot of my jewelry would come under that category because the colors are fit within the preppy look, but also the ease with which you wear my jewelry, the ease with which a preppy look is put together, and it's not flashy or it's not out there. I don't know. I'm rambling. That's the best I can do with that.
No, that's great. I think your jewelry definitely is preppy. And I like how you said the ease to wear it, because I completely agree. Now, I'm curious, who would be your dream customer? If anyone could wear your jewelry, like a celebrity, a royal, an influencer, like who would be the dream for you?
Oh my gosh, I've thought of that, believe me. I've thought, how am I going to find a celebrity? Princess Catherine.
Oh, yeah.
Giselle.
Uh-huh.
If I got those two, I would be in, I would be like Bill Gates of jewelry.
Yes, I think Princess Kate would be beautiful with your jewelry because she has that ease and classic style.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. She's so pretty. I would love to have my jewelry on her.
Yeah. What's your favorite piece that you design? Like right now, if someone were to go to your website, what should they search? Like what's your favorite?
Well, there's a big problem there because often my favorite piece is the one I've most recently designed. Oh. You know, you get very used to making a piece over and over again, which is fun. And which is relaxing. But I do find that when I go to a trunk show, I want to see how my new pieces are going. So I do tend to sort of not push people towards it, but I make sure that they're seen. So I would say that in many ways, my favorite piece is what I've made last. Having said that, I have to say that probably my favorite piece is a simple gold bangle because it goes with everything. It's light and it makes great travel jewelry because, all of my jewelry is very light and can go anywhere and is, you know, it's not cheap, but it's also not highly, highly expensive. And so therefore you can afford it. And if something happens, it's not the end of the world, but the simple bangle just goes with absolutely everything, and it can be considered casual and it can be considered fancy. So I'd have to say from that standpoint, it's my favorite piece.
Yeah, I definitely am going to need one of those. We have a trip to Italy in a few months. And I love how you said that, that it's great to travel with based on the price point, how light it is, and how it can be dressed up or dressed down. So that's perfect for traveling.
It is perfect. A lot of people, you know, come to the trunk show as they try on a necklace. It's quite light. They say, oh, this is so light, and I can take it with me wherever I go. So that's very... very, very much a part of why people buy my jewelry to travel yeah. with.
What about a resource for other businesses? Is there, you know, a book that you've read or a group you're part of or a newsletter or website that you like to look for business related advice or guidance?
You know, I can't answer that question because I really don't think that I can offer much in terms of help. Talking to people, I think, is more helpful than any book that I might read.
Yeah.
Again, I think that vendors who've been in the business for a very long time, I would suggest if there's a new person, a new entrepreneur who is inclined to go to trunk shows, I would recommend that they get to know the vendors, not just because they're wonderful people, because they really are, but also they've been through it all. They know what works and what doesn't work. They know what is the cheaper form of, you know, whatever it may be. I think talking as opposed to reading. So if you were to say a group, which you did, you said, what group? I would say that group, in my view, would be other vendors who are willing to share their knowledge. They may not be willing to share some things, but they're certainly willing to share other things that they think would be very helpful. So that's, I think, where I would go for that kind of advice.
That's great advice. I really like that. Are there any vendors that you've become friendly with that you really admire that you'd like to give a shout out to or to have other people check out then?
Well, there's a woman named Susan Spencer who makes jewelry, so you would think she'd be a competitor. But I can't remember the name. It's Rose and something. I'm not sure she has a website, but she makes fabulous jewelry, antique jewelry. And then there's also one called Indo Chic, which has beautiful velvet and silk tops, which are absolutely fantastic. I wish that I had known this question was coming because I have a bunch of people I would recommend, but I can't think of them off the top of my head. So they're just... Oh, I wish I could think of this other woman. She sells antique silver. And anyway, I'm afraid I can't come up with the names.
No, that's great. No problem at all. So I'm curious, are there any sneak peeks, anything you're working on right now or something that excites you that people can keep an eye out for?
Well, one of the things I have done is I've started weaving on Well, let me backtrack a little bit. Well, I often go to the Arizona Bead Show in the winter, and the whole city is taken over by bead vendors. And it's absolutely fabulous because you see tons of different gemstones and semi-precious stones and beads and designs. And so a while ago I was there and I came across a woman who makes components for jewelry. And they're handmade in Morocco. And I fell in love with them. And I think I stayed at her booth for at least 2 hours. It was ridiculous. I was just so excited about it. And I ended up spending a ridiculous amount of money on her components, having absolutely no idea what I was going to do with them because they don't fit into crochet. So I had to decide to do a different form of jewelry, which I have been doing now for maybe 2 years. Again, it's beaded. A lot of them are chains. They're absolutely gorgeous components themselves. I bought so many of them, I still have some that I haven't quite used yet. And so I now make earrings and pendants and chain type necklaces with them. And so that has become a whole new look that's separate from the crochet look. So I now sort of have two different looks. They're also on the website. And so I, as I said, I fell in love with them, and then I had so much money invested, I had to come up with it, something to do with them. And so I did, and I've been doing those now for quite a while. And it allows you to really cut and paste your designs because you're using all sorts of different really cool components. I wish I could take credit for making them, but I can only take credit for finding them, using them, and figuring out a way to use them.
Yeah. So would that be under like pendants if someone wants to look for them, or what would they search under?
Pendants.
Pendants. Okay.
Long chains, and then some earrings.
Very cool. Those look beautiful.
Yeah, they really look beautiful.
So my final question is, where can people find you? Like, share your website URL so that they can shop, and any social media handles.
Well, we're on Facebook and Instagram, although I took a 3-month break after Christmas because I wanted to kind of, I don't know how to say it, but I felt that I needed to not have presence quite as often. I needed to also find some new pictures and to think about new kind of ways of going at it. So I took a 3-month break and I'm going to go back on in April. So I'm on Instagram and on Facebook. And I'm not doing too many shows over the summer, but I announce the shows when I'm going to be on them. And again, I put that on Facebook and social media, and I put it on the website. And I also send it out to our email list. But the best way is just to go to, I feel like I'm really promoting this, but AdlerGreer.com. And I have to spell it because a lot of people don't know how to do it, but it's AdlerGreer.com.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to be on the podcast today. I loved learning more about you and Adler Greer.
Thank you so much for having me. It's really nice.
Thank you so much for listening to the Preppy Podcast. I hope this put a little prep in your step for the day. Please subscribe, rate, and review on wherever you listen to your podcast. And follow along with @ The Preppy Podcast on social media.